On the day the nominee to chair the Federal Reserve faces her first confirmation hearing, the debate over central bank independence.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. President Obama's choice to lead the Federal Reserve is facing the first of her confirmation hearings. Janet Yellen's prepared statement was in circulation overnight, and it's a kind of job interview, so it's quite careful. There are four words that investors seized upon. Her view that the Fed still has, quote, more work to do, which some hear as a vote for keeping the stimulus going. On Thursdays, we seek the counsel of Diane Swonk, chief economist at Mesirow Financial in Chicago. Morning, Diane.
Good morning.
So Dr. Yellen's prepared testimony, we've both seen it, is excruciatingly prudent, careful, don't rock the boat.
It is, and it is a reflection of what she represents out there, and that is continuity with Ben Bernanke.
What'll be especially interesting to see are the questions that she gets asked while she's up there.
Often comical at times, but what she will be challenged on is not only the effectiveness of the Fed's balance sheet, but is the Fed also giving Congress a wave by doing what it's doing and not forcing Congress to do its job?
Now, by balance sheet, of course, you mean, among other things, the Fed's bond buying program in the name of stimulus. But you actually see this emerging, Fed independence, as a key challenge for the next Fed.
The issues about the Fed's balance sheet and what does it mean, that's really a disguised effort to sort of challenge the independence of the Fed. It will be one of the greatest challenges, I think, of Janet Yellen's tenure is how to maintain the independence of the central bank. You know, Congress has just never forgiven the Fed for lending AIG a loan in the fateful week in 2008. They didn't understand that the Fed had a balance sheet, that they could be a lender of last resort. And ever since then, we have seen more and more from both extremes of the two parties, questions about what the Fed should and can do.
So interesting. Diane Swonk at Mesirow Financial, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Big corporations spend a huge amount of time and money controlling their image, but sometimes social media is beyond control. J.P. Morgan Chase yesterday thought it would be a cool idea to field questions from the public on Twitter. After the barbed tweets began rolling in, the biggest of banks abruptly pulled the plug on that little exercise. Marketplace's Queenie Kim.
So on Wednesday, they started fielding questions under the hashtag AskJPM. And what happened was a cascade of snarky, negative, and sometimes inappropriate tweets. It got so out of control that JP Morgan decided to cancel the Q&A session, calling it a bad idea. David, this is still going on as we speak. People are still tweeting questions. Here's one. Do the cries of starving homeless children ever keep you banksters up at night? That's one of the tamer tweets, one that won't get us sued for libel.
We've collected some of the standout tweets that people sent J.P. Morgan Chase's way. It'll probably count against me next time I try to get a loan from these guys, but we have some of them at marketplace.org. This week, Apple's Johnny Ive and fellow master designer Mark Newson revealed some of the fine design objects they've curated for a big auction for the AIDS charity RED. One of the objects they've picked cheered me up, a RED portable typewriter, the Valentine by Ettore Sotsas. It turns out people still make a living selling typewriters, as Georgia Public Broadcasting's Adam Ragusa reports.
We're talking about the electronic business typewriters that remain favored by law offices, funeral parlors, and anybody else who has to fill out lots of forms or make labels. Nicole Goyette works for a small business services company that handles a lot of tax paperwork.
We also have a lady that comes in and does our filing for us, and she is of the older generation, which I affectionately call alumni, and and she's also more comfortable using the typewriter.
Problem is, almost nobody makes them anymore. IBM got out of the typewriter business two decades ago. Only Nakajima in Japan is still going. So Goyette has brought her company's old brother machine to Progressive Methods in Decatur, Georgia for a refit.
This ribbon won't do it.
Right, okay.
With the labor stuff, he says it's $37.50. That's a half hour worth of labor.
Mm-hmm.
Employee Cheryl Scott works for owner Jim Riegert, who says the transaction we just heard is small potatoes. Here's his real bread and butter.
This is our warehouse here. So we got 2,000 or so IBM typewriters, Wheelwriter typewriters. This is our core business for typewriters.com.
Yes, that's Riegert's domain name, from which he sells about 1,500 of these models refurbished every year. He estimates his little 9-person shop accounts for about a third of the domestic typewriter market. This one is a design IBM introduced in 1985, kind of a classic that never really needed updating. Types like a dream.
Exactly, yeah. This one is really nice because it's easy to change the ribbon and the correction tape.
Except they're getting tougher to find. Riegert has a whole network of guys across the Southeast who snatch them up from estate sales and business liquidation auctions. He's just invested in a state-of-the-art 3D printer to make the spare parts he needs. The historical irony is just too good. In Macon, Georgia, I'm Adam Ragusea for Marketplace.
And this will sound creepier than it is. Business Week is reporting that H&M is bringing cashiers to its dressing rooms. You take the clothes into the dressing room, and if you like and everything fits, there's a cashier just outside ready to take the credit card so you can wear the outfit as you leave the store. You know that means there'll be people roaming the streets with tags sticking out, but that's the cost of instant gratification. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.